So I first want to acknowledge my staff. I work out of Beltsville, but the rest of the staff is, as you see, kind of spread out, mostly in Lincoln, Nebraska, but also Davis, California, and Annapolis, Maryland. The group is the interpretation staff and others working basically on soil interpretations off the soil survey nationally. And we have the advantage of having that soil survey for the whole country, which gives us a lot of power in thinking about different subjects. How do I make it go forward? I should have learned this before I came. All righty, there we go. So the topic here is solar array panels and power on federal lands. You know, it's based on policy, which the president signed this memo, actions to expedite energy-related projects, where it encouraged all federal agencies to take appropriate actions to create production, transmission, and conservation of energy. And based on this, a lot of projects, at least in USDA, but I think in all the federal agencies, have worked towards putting together solar array panels, a variety of different activities. In the case of myself, I'm sitting there in at the Washington Carver Center in Beltsville, Maryland, and I hear that one of our soil scientists in the field is doing a site investigation in the backyard, in the back 40. And I said, "Oh, what you doing? What you doing?" And it turns out that there was a plan to put in a large solar array panel in the Washington Carver Center behind us. And I said, that's interesting. That's really interesting. So I looked at the information that he had put together, and I thought, well, you know, I should investigate this a little bit more, just thinking about it for national in scope. And I went to the DOE and the BLM sites talking about their solar energy development, and they actually have very specific sites for solar array panels. And they have whole bits of information about every sort of consideration for environmental consideration. And they have a whole page on soils, and yet they don't refer to the soil survey. They have a list of sort of on-site evaluation aspects that make it the bottom line for putting in ground-mounted solar array panels. And I thought, well, we can help with this, with the soil survey. And that's what we did, is we thought through and looked at all the information that was available in, you know, quite a bit of information, just like you'd do any kind of study. And you know, it's pretty much ground-mounted systems are the ones that a lot of the federal lands are thinking about installing. And so we looked towards that and put together a whole variety of list of limitations that we thought would be appropriate for looking at the soil survey and deriving that data from the soil survey and creating a map for the country. We started out with the PV solar irradiation because this was what was on all the big websites. And of course, it's what you expect, is the Southwest is a good area to do solar array panels if you're going just by solar irradiation. But we felt that based on the soil survey, and particularly for ground mounted, that we could do better. We thought about doing it simple, easy peasy with the land capability classes with subgroups, but then as we delved deeper, we realized that within the soil survey we could do more, and we could look specifically at soil considerations like rock fragment contact, soil depth, soil strength, soil corrosivity, shrink swell tendencies, and drainage, and really fine-tune right down to a small field size area or a specific area, and actually get right down there and give some good limitations and presentations. You had to think about, of course, we were thinking about the anchoring systems. There's several different kinds of anchoring systems. Some float, but for the most part, we were thinking about the ones that penetrate down into the soil, and that's where the limitations would come in place. So as a list, the soil property limitations, depth to bedrock. I have a whole table of specifics with these soil property limitations. The way we do these big maps is we make some basic thresholds or framework, and then make some choices whether we define the relationship between these different properties. In the case of this particular interpretation, we gave them all equal weight, and if one was a limitation, the whole thing was a limitation, and on down. So depth to bedrock greater than 100 centimeters, because you need support for one of those for the anchors. Rock fragments has to be, if it's greater than 25%, that's a severe limitation because it's difficult to excavate or auger. Steel corrosion, high recidivity, I can never say that right. pH, sulfates, and water tables, because steel corrosion weakens the below ground infrastructure. These are just easy peasy, straightforward reasoning. We had a map of risk of steel corrosion in the United States, and so it was easy to apply this map and move it forward with all the other limitations. We talked about high shrink swell, low soil strength, and frost heave, and our maps in the soil survey actually show these kind of limitations very well, right down to the field level. Soil property limitations continuing with flooding, ponding, depth to seasonal water table, and these are extremely important in these solar array panel arrays because water and electricity don't mix, right? And so we really, it's important. The other one, unstable fill for differential settling, extremely limited. It really makes, if present, extremely limited. So it's a no-brainer, it stops. Impacted soil, possible buried toxins. We have that in the soil survey, so it's available. For site considerations, this is where most of the other agencies think first about this. In the case of the soil survey, almost except for wind speed and direction, but land surface shape, we have almost all of this information in the soil survey down to the field level, so you can derive that information and pull it through. The hours of sunlight, the sun angle, we have to take from other information, but actually the sun angle, latitude, we have that information, and then sometimes even the shading, because we have vegetation in the soil survey information as well, so you can add all those pieces. Again, percent slope greater than 15%, too steep to install. The slope aspect facing for that sun and optimum performance, towards the southern exposure here in our northern hemisphere, is all in the soil survey and potential, especially, but it's only applicable in greater than 8% slopes. And then the slope shape, concave and convex, that has to do with wind as well as the landscape position, with the wind velocity, increased wind velocity. But once again, we have that information in the soil survey. So we ended up with a map, limitations for ground-based solar array panel arrays, and it's a map for the whole country. The places where it's gray are where we don't have soils data in place enough for information. It's interesting to see where the green is. It's not as much green as I would have thought, where there's slight limitations. But as you go through this map and you pick little places, you say, yeah, it's right. That does make sense. The final proof of the pudding was as I went back to the Washington Carver Center, because by the time we had done this little study, they had installed the solar array panels. And where is the pointer? How would we do the pointer? The mouse.
Or you can use this.
Where? I'm going to do the mouse. if I can make it work. So it ended up that they installed the solar array panels right here, right like that. Perfecto. We were so excited. I'm going to go back again just so you can see it once again. It was right in line. They had done it with a site, you know, a specific site inspection and put it together very carefully based on the criteria that they had. We took the criteria, applied it to the soil survey, and we ended up with the same results. So we were happy to see that little corner down here. It's a little too wet in that RCA unit, and it's not something that's really apparent, but if you dig down, you'll see that it is. And that's basically it. There's a list of references here. We have, of course, a lot more. But what I would hope is that this is just one example of making an application of the soil survey to do something fairly practical and useful. And if you're interested in this, you can go to these references. All of this will be on the web. So that's it. Thank you so much.
We do indeed have time for questions for Dr. Levine.
Okay.
Has any consideration been given in any of these to the rainfall issues? Because I see the potential for rainfall to be concentrated in strips as opposed to spread equally over the site.
Right. And, you know, some of that is... you know, we were considering that, but we wanted to simplify at least our first cut with this map. Certainly when you're on site, all of these aspects, also the maintenance, you know, when you're a certain part of the country, you have to think about the vegetation and the maintenance between the solar array panels, particularly when you have a large array, as to how to maintain the vegetation and the selection of the vegetation underneath the array panels, and then also when you have this concentration of vegetation, concentration of water flowing off the array panels, that can be a definite consideration as to that you get wet, almost wet vegetation right between the panels right underneath. So it's interesting thinking about all those aspects. We tried with this first run to make it pretty simple, and I'm pleased with the results, frankly. I think it'll be a useful map, both with agriculture and perhaps military installations, but also federal installations where they've been mandated for all large facilities to think of a way to use solar array panels besides the roofs.
My question is very similar. The water coming off the panel, is that considered stored? Are they required to gather it?
Some of them have done that. Some of them have done that, but it, you know, a lot of these solar array panel arrays have been put in desert lands where it's not as much an issue. I think as we start thinking about these solar array panels in other places, like small communities that are thinking of putting them in, that are non-agricultural areas, cities. Small industrial complexes, putting them in to cut back on energy. There we'll have to also think about stormwater drainage patterns and put that in. But for the first cut for this is just basically the ground penetrating array panels and laying it out. And what I'm hopeful is I had hoped maybe even to make some contacts with DOE here at this meeting to show them what we've done to improve their websites, also BLM's website. You know, we have this map now that is a good first cut. It doesn't mean you don't have on-site evaluation for those very specific reasons of stormwater drainage and flow and all that. But as a first cut to deciding where to put the solar array panels, I think these maps are pretty good, and they work for the whole country, which is pretty fascinating. Wherever we have soil survey, which on federal and private lands, we're about at 90%, 92% of the country is covered. So there you have it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.